Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Immortal God, invisible God, immortal God, how great thou art, immortal God, invisible God, immortal God, how great thou art, immortal God, invisible God, immortal God, how great thou art. Father Almighty, we are all saying good morning to you. Thank you for watching over us while we slept. Thank you for all you did on Thursday. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Thank you for what you are about to do today. Thank you for what you will do tomorrow. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Ancient of Days, we commit all your children all over the world into your hands this morning. Please send help to all of them. Let our journey to dominance begin today. At the end of everything, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with one or two people and say, good morning, God bless you. If you enjoyed your walk, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Good. Take your hymn sheet and wave it to me so I know you are ready. Okay. The others will join us later on. La 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 la. One.
I will praise you, lift our up.
Two.
You brought me out of the perfect day and set my feet on the rock to stay. You then put a new song in my mouth. I will shout to you, alleluia.
Three.
Four. I was in love.
5.
I was helpless, you sent me your hand. I was hopeless, you sent me your hope. I was lonely, you became my friend. I will shout to you, hallelujah.
6. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. Exodus 1, verse 7. This morning we want to talk about 7 basic steps to dominion. 7 basic steps to dominion. Exodus 1, verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. And the children of the Redeemed Christian Church of God were fruitful. Yeah. And increased. Yeah. Abundantly. Yeah. And multiplied. Yeah. And waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Step number 1 to dominion is fruitfulness. They were fruitful. Grateful people always witness. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, Mark 1, 40 to 45, Jesus cleansed a leper and told him, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody what I've done. The leper smiled. I was a leper. There was no hope for me, no cure. And now, you have given me a new beginning. How can I keep quiet? Is anybody here that God had really given a new beginning to? Do I hear your hallelujah? Grateful people always witness voluntarily. They witness. They don't need a pastor. They don't need a geo to compel them. Impulsively, they can't keep quiet. They witness impulsively. They witness profoundly. Not for a to a small group of people. They witness profoundly. They witness largely. In Luke chapter 8, from verse 27 to 40, Luke 8, 27 to 40, when Jesus set the madman of Gadara free, and he came to him and said, thank you, sir. Now I go with you everywhere you go. Jesus Christ said, you want to show your gratitude? Go back and talk to your people. Tell them what God has done. In the meantime, the people, when they saw the miracle, they were afraid. And they begged Jesus to leave their coast. Go. You are too much for us. You stay here, all our pigs will be destroyed. Go. But this madman who was made whole witnessed so vigorously that the Bible says when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him. He turned them round. Those who said, go away, they now say, you are welcome. As a matter of fact, the people said they were so many that Jesus couldn't even come in quietly anymore. Greatly grateful people always witness. They do it voluntarily. They do it impulsively. They do it profoundly. You've heard me talk about one of my sons, now in glory. We call him Brother Moses. Some of you have heard about him. He will witness to anybody. You come in contact with him, you ride the same taxi with him. It's either you give your life to Jesus before you get to the station or you will stop the taxi and get out. Why? Because he knew how bad he was before Jesus came. Moses made love to goats. He made love to dogs. He made love to chicken. When Moses came home on holidays, parents kept their children at home. No child goes out as long as Moses is on holidays. Because if a child goes out, whether boy or girl, that child is in trouble. Then Moses met the Lord. Jesus saved his soul. He became a different person. He couldn't keep quiet. The reason some of you cannot witness is that you were born saints. You never offended God. You never lied. You never stole. You never fornicated. So when he saved your soul, what actually did he do? He didn't do much. Why can't Pastor Adebe keep his mouth shut? He knew who he was. And now he knows who he is. And he knows somebody did the job. Is there anybody here who is really grateful to God for salvation? Salvation. For salvation. Let me hear that fellow shout hallelujah. In John 15, verses 1 and 2, John 15, verses 1 and 2, the Lord made it clear, every branch that is not producing fruit will be torn off. I gave you a secret yesterday. I said God is about to begin some great things in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. You were happy. Let me assure you, fruitless ones among us will not be partakers. You prayed a prayer yesterday. Maybe you didn't know the meaning of the prayer you prayed. You said every plant God didn't plant should be rooted up. You think he didn't hear you? Revival comes like a flood. Whenever there's a revival, it comes as a flood. And when a flood comes, every house that is not built on the rock, what will happen to the house? So those who are hiding among us, who are not adding anything to us, who are not producing fruits, who are just sitting in, eating us up, and they will soon be gone. He said it is the branch that beareth fruit that he purges, so that he can bear what? More fruit. He has to cut off some dead leaves, dead, those who are just there producing nothing. And he said, my Father will do it, not the geo. You won't believe it, that between last year and now, some people have resigned from the Redeemed Christian Church of God. I think they'd be about four or five in number. But the point is, do you miss them? If I'm not telling you now, will you know? And they will write to me, Daddy, you still remain our daddy, but God has given us a new ministry. And I will say, investigate. And they will investigate and they say, no, we are not quarreling with anyone. We're just going. And they will beg them, don't go. No, we've already made up our mind, we're going. Some people will not be with us when the glorious days come. It's not a curse. It is the way of God. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, my Father takes away. My Father. You'll be surprised now if by the end of this minister's conference, I receive letters from some people who say, I'm going. What has anybody done to you? No, nothing. I just want to answer General Overseer. You know somebody resigned from the Redeemed Christian Church of God because he said, I don't allow him to be called bishop. How does that sound to you? You know he's not the one going. It's his papa saying you don't belong. If something deep within you says you will be here, when the glorious days come, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Step number one, they were fruitful. Step number two, they increased. Fruitfulness will lead to increase. You must give birth to children. Churches must plant churches. Pastors must produce other children. Because Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5, Psalm 127, 3 to 5, made it clear. You need children to help you defend your dominion. You need children to answer your enemies at the gate. You need them. It's the duty of children to protect their parents. When you get to a certain level in life, it's now your children who should be protecting you, taking care of you, defending you. When they were babies, when they were helpless, you defended them. You carried them. You fed them. You clothed them. When you get to a certain level, it is their turn. The elders have a proverb. When the rodent is old, it sucks the milk of her children. Strange proverb, but true. Which is why, beginning from now, you should not be writing to me asking for money. You should be sending me money. The amen wasn't loud. All right. And it means not only that you'll be having children, but that your children will be abiding. John 15:16 says, you are not to only go out and bear fruit, but the fruit must abide. During the morning devotion last week, I was pointing out to my children the difference between barrenness and unfruitfulness. They are two different things. Barren means unable to conceive. Unfruitful means it could conceive, and the pregnancy could abort or miscarry, or the pregnancy may result in stillbirth, or the baby may die soon after being born. That's unfruitfulness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. It is when you are fruitful and you increase that you are on the journey to dominion. Look at the story of the talents. Matthew 25:15-30. Matthew 25:15-30. And Luke 19:12-26. Luke 19:12-26. Telling the same story in different versions. When the one who was given five talents, came back with 10. His Lord said to him, you have been faithful in little things. I will make you master. Master, that's another word for the dominant one, over many things. In Luke 19, when he was telling the story, he said, because you have been faithful in little things, I will make you ruler of 10 cities. Ruler. Dominant one. If you are not producing fruits, if you are not planting new churches, if you are not increasing in number, God is likely to say, hey, why are you cumbering the ground? Move out of the way. People who are not constantly producing fruits have no reason to leave. They should just go. Step number 3. They didn't just increase, they increased abundantly. Abundantly. Your dominion is insignificant if it is limited. Your dominion is not significant if it is limited. Some of you are ruling over a parish, and you've been ruling over a parish now for 10 years. Your dominion has no significance. In Yoruba land, there are, only God knows how many hundreds of obas, kings. I know a village not far from Abeokuta. It has its own king. And the number of houses there are less than 10. King. Oh Lord, have mercy. He's a king. He has his own domain. But I'm sure you've never heard his name. And I've told you of island nations of the world. Some of the island nations where, by God's grace, we have our churches. We have a police force of 25 people. And there is an inspector general of police. Inspector general. Over 25 police officers. And he himself was the 25th one. Listen. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Joshua 10, verse 1 to 5. You discover nobody feared Joshua because he conquered Jericho. No. But when he took Jericho, and Ai fell, and Gibeon surrendered, then Adoni-Sedek woke up and summoned all his allies and said, the way this boy is going, unless we stop him now, he will take us all over. You must not just be fruitful. You must not just increase. You must increase how? Abundantly. Abundantly. In John 15 verse 5, John 15 verse 5, the Lord made it clear. I am not just asking you to bear fruit. I want you to bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. In John chapter 10, verse 10, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus Christ said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. When we talk about financial dominion yesterday, I didn't have time to go to all the details, but if you read Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14, Psalm 22, verse 12 to 14, God is not just asking you to be rich. He's not asking you just to be wealthy. He's not asking you just to prosper. He wants you to flourish. You cannot be lending to nations if all you are is rich. A flourishing man is a man who has so much, unless God guides him, he won't know what to do with the money. That's the kind of dominion we are talking about. The kind of financial dominion that just one fellow will come and say, Daddy, how much is the convention going to cost? Because I want to pay. And I will tell him, son, you came late. 10 other people had come before you. I've already given the assignment to one of them. That is dominion. That is dominion. That's the kind of financial dominion I'm believing God for. The kind of financial dominion that I'm believing God for is when one of my children will come and say, Daddy, we need to change your plane. We need a bigger one. And he says, well, this, I say, okay, what do you have in mind? He said, this is what I have in mind. I said, oh, sorry. We've already passed that stage. We're not talking about small increase. We are talking about increasing how? Pronounce the word. And then step number 4. They multiplied. And I like that. And you should take note of it. They what? They multiplied. Multiplication comes when your fruits begin to produce fruits. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Paul said to Timothy, those things you've heard from me before many witnesses, I want you to commit to faithful men who themselves will then commit to other men. That's multiplication. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Keep multiplying, keep multiplying. That is why I hold ministers' conferences, to turn you to disciples, to teach you what I know, to pour myself into you. One of my sons was saying something only last week. He said, one of the things he likes about the Redeemed Christian Church of God is that, Daddy, you spend time with us, your pastors. And we were talking about another ministry. And we're talking good thing about another ministry, not bad. We said the ministry is very good, but there is one thing missing. The Baba is not discipling them. He won't even let them preach their own sermon. They stand at the pulpit and play his tape. I said, we have to pray for him. Because sooner or later, we are all going to die. All Jews will go. You say, stop saying that. I'm saying it because I'm not afraid to go. And in any case, whether I say it or not, I'm going. And one day you are going too. If you don't make disciples, when you die, your greatness dies with you. Multiply. Ask the elders here. The moment I became general overseer, our workers' meeting at Ebute Metta changed, particularly in the evening. We sit down. We study the Bible. And I didn't just preach to them. I pick a passage in the Bible and I ask them to contribute. Make your own contribution. That's how people grow. Make your contributions. After they've said their own, here and there, I wouldn't add my own. Make disciples, please. Multiply. That's how to have dominion. If you read Exodus chapter 1, verse 5, Exodus 1, verse 5, when Jacob came to Egypt, there were only 70 souls. How many souls? 70. By the time you read Exodus 12, verse 37, Exodus 12, verse 37, when Israel was leaving Egypt, there were 600,000 men. Not counting children. From 70 to 600,000. That's multiplication. That's not addition. Some of you say, no, my church is big. I don't believe in all these small churches. You know, that's what some people used to say about me. They said, don't mind him. When he says he has 100 churches in Lagos, what he's calling churches, is where two or three are gathered together. That's good enough. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, what will it be? He will be there. Now look at my two or three now. Look at. Two or three. Now they are now doing two or three. Because they've discovered little grains of sand, little drops of water make the mighty ocean. Multiply. Whenever your house fellowship grows to 20, turn it to a church. And let the church now begin to have their own fellowships. We don't have people who are well trained. I wasn't well trained. I learned on the job. I I didn't have these opportunities you have. My daddy loved me. He taught me all he knew. He tried.
The message is brought to you by Dominion Tapes Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Akme Parish, Ogba, Ikeja. May you be blessed in Jesus' name.
But when we say ministers gather in those days, as the elders, once or so or twice a year, we come in January for Thanksgiving. We meet in the vestry, and Papa will greet us and pray for us. We eat pounded yam and go. I didn't have these opportunities. Unfortunately, I didn't even have time to go to Bible college. If God could keep me, He can keep anybody. If you believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. I've told you before, when they began to ask me to, in fact, it happened by accident too. The man who was conducting morning prayer had to travel. And then he gave me 1 week when he was away. He said I should conduct the morning prayer. That's how I started preaching. And if you listen to my sermon then, oh Lord God Almighty, I will pick one Bible passage, I will tell a lot of 30 stories to occupy the time, and then I will say, let's go and pray. Hey, Lord. But God took me from where I was, and I'm where I am now. We don't have material. What do you mean? The people God had given you are your materials. They are your talents. Train them. They are not qualified to head a church. Were you qualified when you started heading a church? Is there anybody who will ever be qualified? You are not the one who will build the church. He said, I will build my church. That's what he said. I told you of a man who was just a little above failure in Bible college. But when he left Bible college, his church grew more than others. And they asked him, how come? Because he wasn't too clever. He said, I have only one sermon. What's your sermon? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And so if I want to talk about healing, I will say, he healed yesterday, he will heal today, he will heal tomorrow. You want him to heal you? Come and surrender your life to Jesus. That's all. If I want to talk about provision, he provided yesterday, he will provide today, he will provide tomorrow. You want him to provide for you? Come and give your life to Jesus. It's not your oratory that will win souls. It's not your theology. Don't deceive yourself. It's not how many degrees you have in divinity that will bring souls to the kingdom. All you need is divine backing. If it backs you up, miracles will happen. But you must be willing to multiply. But that's the problem with many of us. We want a big church. There's nothing wrong with a big church. And let me assure you of one thing. Giving birth to children does not reduce a woman. If anything at all, it expands the woman. Look at a grandmother and compare her to the girl you married. You will see that children expand. One of my children in, don't let me, why not? One of my children in America learned this lesson, grabbed it, and applied it. He hasn't got a big church. Maybe his headquarters church is probably about 300 people now. But he kept on planting little churches. Where two or three gathered together, he kept on planting. A couple of years ago, I wanted to use a Yankee Stadium for a Holy Ghost service. And they told me that it's going to cost about $500,000 or more. So I said, my son, if that's what it's going to cost, I don't mind. I will do everything within my power to pay the money. He said, daddy, when I am here. He said, we are not big, but we are many. Now that's dominion now. It comes from multiplying. I told some of you years ago, you probably have forgotten, of an experiment somebody performed years ago. He took a rat, two rats, one male, one female, put them in a big enclosure, and supplied them with plenty of food. He took two elephants, male and female, put them in another big enclosure, and gave them food, plenty of food. Now the rats are the type that reproduce every 3 months. So in 3 months, they gave birth to another rat. Or a couple of rats or whatever. I can't remember how many rats. In 3 months' time, they are ready to produce another, and their children are ready to produce children. The elephant will produce one elephant maybe once in 2 or 3 years. After 10 years, he opened the enclosure. Enclosure A, enclosure B. The elephants now are about 4 or 5. The rats are hundreds of thousands. When the elephants saw the rats coming, they ran. They called us rats when we were planting little churches here and there. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together. They don't mind them. What they are calling churches is only house fellowship. They said it to my hearing. They said it. I have a witness. You can ask Pastor Abaton. Somebody said it to him too. You don't mind them, they say they are planting churches. House fellowship. Today, when they see our rats coming, elephants will run. Multiply. And then, number five, the Bible said they waxed mighty. Oh, I like that. They waxed mighty. To be mighty means to be unusually strong. To be strong among the strong. To be dominant. We are not mighty yet, not the way we should be. But do you know, and God forbid bad thing, do you know, if the Redeemed Christian Church of God wants, they can cause the whole of Nigeria to stand still. Now I tell you how. And don't quote me. Don't quote me. This is in-house, okay? I was sharing it with one of my children. I said, suppose we want to cause trouble. We will never cause trouble. Yeah. I suppose we want to cause trouble. Suppose we just say, all right. And I summoned all my children. And I said, I want to see only those of them who have two cars. If you don't have two cars, don't come. And they come. And I say, I want you to spare one car for 24 hours. Can you do that? He said, oh, sure. Good. And I select strategic streets, bridges in Lagos, Ibadan, Abuja, etc. And I say, okay, 100 of you, go and park your cars on the long bridge and leave the place. 100 of you, go and park your car on tall mainland bridge and leave the, go park it in the night and leave the place, block the place with 100 cars. You go to the former toll gate in Ibadan, park 100 cars there, and do that in Abuja. Do it. You know, I was a rascal before Jesus saved me. Within 2 hours, because other vehicles coming, they won't know that these cars have been abandoned there. They will think it is a small traffic jam. So they will keep on coming and, oh. Within 4 hours, nobody will be able to move. Everything will be at a standstill. Because the moment the people discover that the traffic is not moving this way, they will go the other way. And they will block that one too. And they will go. And unless somebody discover who is behind the trouble. And they come to beg him. And then he tells his children, okay, now go and move your cars. We're talking of dominion. Dominion comes when you multiply. Go home and multiply. Plant more churches. Turn house fellowships to churches. Next year, when we want to ordain deacons and deaconesses, I want it to take a whole day. Wax mighty means they became unusually strong, strong among strong. They became dominant. You know, the reason Pharaoh became afraid of them is, he said, if an enemy should attack us, and these people team up with the enemy, we are finished. That's what Pharaoh said. And when we talk about being dominant, being mighty, consider Stephen. Acts chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. Acts 6, 5 to 8. There were several people chosen to be deacons. How come that we end up hearing the name of only two? I've told you what one of my grandchildren asked me a long time ago. Daddy, you know the Bible? I said, yeah, I do. Who is Prochorus? I said, Prochorus. He said, I'm not sure I know Prochorus. What about Nicanor? What about Timon? I said, you mean Simon? He said, no, Timon. What about Parmenas? I said, I don't know these people. He said, they are among the original deacons. I said, God have mercy on Prochorus. He was chosen because he was supposed to be mighty, to be strong in the Lord. But nobody heard of Prochorus again. We didn't hear about Nicanor or Timon or Parmenas. Nicholas, the only reason we have Nicholas is because of Nicholas Hospital. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, Daniel 6, verse 1 to 3, they told us about great men, but as he said, Daniel excelled. You must aim at excelling. You must aim at excelling. I was listening to my Bible early this morning, audio Bible, and they were talking, that was somewhere around Genesis chapter 10 or so, because I listened to several chapters. And they would talk about somebody. Enoch was so many years old, and then he gave birth to Methuselah. I'm sad to learn that Methuselah is the son of Enoch. And then they will say, okay, and Enoch lived for so many other years and had many other sons and daughters. And they will go on, Methuselah gave birth to so and so at the age of 187 or something, and then lived for another almost 800 years and had other sons and other daughters. What kind of life is that when they mention only one son of your father and call the rest other sons and daughters? I don't want to be among the all others. I want to stand out. How many of you want to excel? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. If you are going to excel, it's going to call for rigorous self-discipline. Rigorous self-discipline. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 to 16, Daniel 1, 8 to 16, Daniel excelled because he conquered his appetite. Rigorous self-discipline. I am 75. My plan was that I would take you today on a walk that is a little over 10 kilometers. I changed my mind. I thought you would be sad. You were happy. Rigorous self-discipline. If you are going to excel, you have to learn to discipline yourself. You must set a high standard. A standard so high, others will not be able to cope. That's how to dominate. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. Daniel 6, 4 to 5. All the other presidents said, this man is without blame. That's no blemish. The standard is high. There's no fault in him. You have to set for yourself a very high standard. You don't have to wait till we call for a fast. See, so before you fast, you don't have to wait till we gather together to pray. Before you pray, make your own standard high. If others are praying for just 1 hour and then they go, make your own 2. That's how to become mighty. I told you, I think it was during the solemn assembly, what one joker, son of my a bishop, who said, "Daddy, I want to be like you. The problem with you is that your standard is too high." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I heard that you regularly fast for 40 days and 40 nights. So I too wanted to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. But after 21 days, I heard a voice from heaven saying, all my prayers have been answered." I said, "You didn't hear from heaven. You heard from your stomach." And then step number 7, they filled the land. Huh? 6. Did I jump 1? Huh. I didn't know I jumped 1. Let me look at it again. If I jump 1, well, it means God didn't want you to hear that one. Because I said you should ask him to pray. I ask you to pray that you hear whatever I want you to hear. Let me check. Exodus 1, verse 7, right? Oh, okay. I think I have an idea. The children of Israel were fruitful. You know that one now. Fruitful. Increase. Abundantly. Multiplied. They wax mighty. They wax exceeding mighty. Exceeding mighty. That is where Daniel came in. Daniel exceeded others in his mightiness. The king had 120 provinces. He appointed 3 presidents. Those to be one of the 3 to look after 120 provinces, you are already mighty. But Daniel exceeded the 3. He was exceeding mighty. Okay, that's number 6. And then number 7, they filled the land. Another word for dominion is influence. overriding influence. Like I told you at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, Genesis 1, 28, the plan of God is for you to dominate the world. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and then have dominion over everything. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, 1 Samuel 3, 19 to 20, you will see that the Bible says Samuel's influence went from Dan to Bathsheba. He covered the land in his influence. So that by the time he arrived in Bethlehem, 1 Samuel 16, verse 4 to 5, 1 Samuel 16, verse 4 to 5, the elders trembled. Now that's influence. The elders were afraid that Samuel had come until he told them, I've come in peace. You have no dominion until when you send to your governor, I'm coming to visit you, and he could not eat until you arrive. Because he doesn't know what you are coming to say. Until you arrive and say, I come in peace. Now, when you have that kind of influence, you cannot say you want to build a church and the governor will refuse you permit. We need dominion. And the Bible made it clear our influence to be to the uttermost part of the whole world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. We are not supposed to be local government chairman, spiritually speaking. We are to be world power. That's why I keep pushing you. Go out. Don't just plant churches. Go and do mission work. We must reach to the uttermost part of the whole earth. We must. That's our assignment. This crowd is too large for me to say it all. But the assignment God has for the Redeemed Christian Church of God is not small. It's not just planting churches. No. It is something far, far greater. Let me conclude. If step one is fruitfulness, it means you can't even go to step two unless you handle step one very well. And the best tool for fruitfulness is testimony. The best tool for winning souls is not going to them and say, hey, Jesus loves you. If you die today, where do you think you will go? Many of these people will say, what's your business? What concerns you? I'm hungry and you are talking about where I will go when I die. Leave me, Joe. But when you open your mouth and you begin to testify of what God has done for you, when they hear of healing without drugs, when they hear of deliverance when nobody could help, when they hear of what God had done for you, they want to know, how did you get it? David said, In Psalm 89 verse 1, he said, "With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." He said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." And the problem with us is that we keep complaining of what God has not done, forgetting what he had done. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." He repeated it. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." Don't forget them. And then he began to list them: who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, etc., etc., etc. That songwriter said, "Count your blessing, name them one by one, and it will surprise you, what the Lord had done." One of the things I was blessing the Lord for this morning, as I was returning here, I was saying, "Daddy, thank you for restraining the rain when we go for walks." And see, there's plenty of rain in the sky. But when we were going for the walk yesterday, everything was dry. He allowed us to go, come back, then he opened the heavens. Today, we have gone, we have come back, everything was dry. To you, it is a small thing. To me, it is a honor from the controller of heaven and earth. How do people recruit disciples for Satan? By testifying. How do they get people to join Ogboni fraternity? He tell them, talk to a friend. "Do you know, things were hard for me, but then I was able to contact Chief So-so-so, and Chief So-so-so, and Chief So-so-so, and they all gave me money to start my business. That's what you see me now prospering." And he said, "What's your relationship with Chief So-so-so and Chief So-so-so, Chief So-so-so?" He said, "Oh, well, we belong to the same society." "Do you know Justice So-so-so?" "I belong to the same society as him." "Do you know Justice So-so-so?" "I belong to the same..." Then you look at him, you have what society? And I'm telling you, there is discipline in those societies. I should know. Because when I was a teacher at Okegbo Ifeto Grammar School, the typist in the church, I mean the school, was in the society. And a senior tutor was in the society. The senior tutor offended the typist. Right there in our presence, he knelt down and began to kiss the hand of the typist, because he knows what will happen when they meet if the matter is not settled. But because they tell you the rosy things, you want to join. An And we belong to the society of light. We belong to the society of the Most High. We belong to the society of the one who owes heaven and earth. And we don't testify. If you have nothing to thank him for, look at your hymn sheet. Look at this hymn sheet. You will see many a times when a composer composes, he's telling the story of his life. This song is about me. He brought me out of the merry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a new song in my mouth. That's verse 2. I was sick. His touch made me whole. I used to be knocked down by malaria every 2 weeks. I was bound. He made me free, and free indeed. I was down, but he lifted up my head. He's talking about me. Maybe another fellow here too. I was in darkness. He sent me light. I was drowning. He rescued me. I was in sorrow. He sent me joy. I was helpless. He sent help to me. I was hopeless. He gave me hope. I was lonely. He became my friend. This is about me. I was forgotten, but he remembered me. I was forsaken, but he reached out to me. When I was in despair, he sent succor to me. No one cares for me like Jesus does. No one loves me like he does. And no one can help me just as he can. If you have nothing else to thank him, look at this. And thank God for me. So you go ahead and bless the name of the Lord this morning. And make up your mind. From now on, I will testify. And you meet again at 1 o'clock. You continue from 1 to 4. And then you break. In the preaching today, you preach from 1 to 3. From 3 to 4, you share some important testimonies of whatever God has done in your ministry, in your life. And please make sure you are here early, because we have so many of these reports that we haven't heard, and we'll begin to listen to the reports from 7:20. God bless you. If God has done anything for you, go ahead now and begin to bless his name. Go ahead and praise him. Magnify his holy name. Worship the Almighty God. He has done so much for me. He has taken away my sorrow. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And he's coming again for me. Go ahead and bless his holy name.
The message is brought to you by Dominion Tapes Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Akme Parish, Ogba, Ikeja. May you be blessed in Jesus' name.